Appreciate y'all praying for Andy. His surgery went well. And it's going to take him about 6 weeks to get over it. But he's in Amarillo right now, today. And I'm not sure when he's coming back, today or tomorrow. And Rachel, Vera and I drove 636 miles yesterday, went to East Texas and picked up our granddaughter and took her to Amarillo. And then we came back home. So anyway, she's up there, and she's going to be driving his truck back. Maybe they'll make it. Teenager, she's not a teenager anymore. She's about, how old is Rachel? Huh? Early 20s? Something like that. Anyway. But she's going to come back and stay with him for this week. And maybe he'll be able to get up and around. He's up, but he has to get down pretty often and then he can get back up. But the surgery went well, and we're glad about that. Thank you for praying. All right, open your Bible, if you would, to John 20. That'll be the main verses that we'll be studying this morning. And I don't know whether I'm going to need to go 35 minutes or not, but we'll go till we get done. And then if not, why, we'll just take another offering. Or just take offerings until the bell rings. Or do something. But anyway, I've had so much on my mind here lately, but I've gone through this and over it and had it written out before I left home and all that sort of thing. But the lesson today is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's important that we understand that Jesus is the Son of God. But not only is Jesus the Son of God, He is perfect as God was perfect. God sent Him to this world to help us understand that there's a way to heaven. And it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The main verse for this lesson is John 20, verse number 31. And it tells us here in John 20, 31, "But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." I want to turn over to chapter 21 and read verse 25 as well. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." You know, as we think about what Jesus Christ did during His personal ministry, we would never get through understanding all of it or reading all of it or hearing about all of it. But the most important things are the very fact that people need to know that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save sinners and the lost sinners. And all people are lost until they get saved. That's all because of Adam and Eve. Or even Adam, actually. She's the first one that partook, and she got her husband to take some too, you know, off the tree that God said, "Don't eat off that tree, lest you die." And they didn't drop over dead, so they didn't think anything was wrong. But that isn't what God meant. God meant that they would not live forever on this earth in that state. But you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God made it possible for us to be redeemed, like Adam and Eve had to be redeemed. That means bought back into fellowship with God and favor with God. And we're looking forward to that time. There's a lot of questions sometimes we have about when we pass away and they bury us in the grave and when Jesus is coming back, and a lot of questions that we might maybe not have all the full understanding about, but we do know that we're going to be with Him and dwell with Him forever. You know, that's at my age, I'm not forever as I am now. And so as we think about it, you know, you get to be a young child and you realize that you're part of somebody's family, and you begin to grow and you get up into teen years and then young adult years, and then you get into middle age, and then you get into older age, and your hair turns a different color unless you go buy some stuff and put on it, whatever else. And anyway, my wife likes white hair so good she buys all the white hair stuff she can get. But it doesn't cost her anything. No, she was beautiful with black hair and beautiful with white hair. Anyway, was, is. You better get that is in there. But our approach to world evangelism is based upon the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so as we think about it, there's a lot of... That's why we send out missionaries, to go tell people about Jesus. Because if they understand who Jesus is, and they do what the Word of God tells them to do about accepting Jesus as their Savior, then they will also go to heaven and be in the very presence of Almighty God. Our love for Jesus gives us motivation to place emphasis where emphasis needs to be placed. One of the most important things in all of our lives is the very fact that we have a Bible. You know, long time ago, people didn't have Bibles. They had scripts, and they had preachers that preached to them in the Old Testament and so forth, and they knew a little bit about a lot of things, but they didn't know a lot about a lot of little things that we need to know about today. And it's God's holy word. Say, how can it be God's word? Because God chose men to write it down. And they wrote it down, and it's passed on. And it is God's holy word. That's why we need to take care of reading it and loving it and taking care of it. The Bible said in God's revelation of himself is found in the word of God for us. And even for our children, we have Bibles. You can go in a Christian store, bookstore, and you can find a little Bible that's got pictures of children on the front of it and different things. And it's a Bible for children. And children need to learn how to grow up reading the Bible or listening to the Bible. So the Bible's very important. And so on. In John chapter 20, Jesus had gone to Calvary, bled and died for our sins, not his, he didn't have any. And he was buried, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then he came forth from that grave, and he did it forever. He arose so that we could be saved and have salvation in our hearts and in our lives. He's the Savior to his disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a person who, we think of discipline with the word, but we also think about following someone. And we follow Jesus. That's who we're supposed to follow. And it's in the Word of God. And if we don't know how to do it, it's right here in the Bible. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church and preach. And that's why we're supposed to read our Bible every day and should read it every day and do what we can to find out what God has to say. And so in John chapter 20, I want to read, beginning in verse 24 again, and read down through verse 31. This is the crux of the lesson for today. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, it tells us here, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, so he was with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Now, Thomas didn't say, I want to do this. Remember, Thomas said he was going to do it? But before Thomas got a chance to do it, Jesus already told him to. You know, Jesus knows everything. That's what's amazing to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to remind him of anything. He knows everything. So then he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and hold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. So Thomas didn't have to go and remind the disciples what he was going to do. And he didn't have to ask Jesus if he could do it. Jesus already knew before he even said anything again what he lacked, because he missed the other meeting. And so he said, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We have not seen Jesus physically, but we believe. And so we are blessed people. People who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, by reading it in the Bible, by hearing it from the preacher, and so forth, they are blessed people, and they have believed. And then it tells us here in verse 30 and 31, and many other signs, that simply means miracles that Jesus performed that couldn't be written in the Bible, wouldn't be, we would never get to all of them. But it tells us here, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And so that's a wonderful thought, that we might have life through his name. And then again, it was in chapter 21 and verse 25, I wrote it down again, and I just read it just a few minutes ago, so we're not have to read that one again. But in John chapter 20, Jesus had gone to Calvary. He bled and he died for our sins. He came forth out of the grave, and two more words, forevermore. He will never have to pay the penalty for our sins again. He paid the sins of the whole world. We just have to receive him. We have to believe in him. We have to trust in him. We have to ask him for forgiveness, and he will save us rightly. And Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There against verse number 31. Yeah, we live in a day when many people don't speak about Christ in the Bible. That's in the Bible. They just don't know what to say, or they just don't take time to learn how to say anything. But many times, in fact, a lot of times people use God's name in vain, use Jesus Christ as a slang or as a bad word to someone. And I heard that growing up. My daddy used that terminology a lot. But unfortunately, I got saved just before my daddy passed away at age 50, and he didn't get saved. And I can't dwell on that. I mean, it's just something that's sad in my heart. But like I say, he used the Lord's name in vain. And you know why he did that? Because when he was about, my mama said when he was about 3 years old, his kinfolks would give him pennies to cuss. And then they'd laugh at him. And he cussed all his life. And as I was growing up, I mean, a couple times, I got my mouth washed out with soap. My daddy didn't get his mouth washed out with soap, but I got my mouth washed out with soap. And, you know, trying to be a big shot, walking back and forth from, you know, we didn't have a school bus to take us to school. We walked to school. And, you know, we'd get angry at somebody. We'd get in fights on the way home and all kind of stuff, you know. But I'm thankful that I'm still alive. I was the littlest one in the bunch. And the only thing that saved me was my temper. It didn't matter how big they were if I lost my temper. But then sometimes I'd say something and Mom would hear it and she would, I got my mouth washed out with soap a couple times, using God's name in vain. And I'm thankful that when I was a senior in high school, I got saved. And my whole life turned around. Now, I wasn't that kind of a person most of the time, but I was some of the time. But after that, God made a change in me. And I'm thankful for that. And so on. But Jesus Christ is the Christ of the Bible. He was virgin born, the Son of God, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Think about it. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, we don't see Him physically, but spiritually, He's our Savior and our Lord. Spiritually, He will never leave us. He's with us. He's with us this morning. He'll be with us tomorrow morning and tomorrow night and all until He calls us home. The Lord Jesus left His ordinances for us. And that's what we must do. We follow in His ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's very scriptural. A person who doesn't get baptized is not doing what God intended for them to do. And so we get baptized. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then we observe the Lord's Supper. As often as you do, the Bible tells us. It doesn't tell us exactly how many times to do it. And we do it here a couple times a year because we don't want it to be too... in other words, forget. We need to really understand and realize what it's all about. But they are both a picture. Baptism and the Lord's Supper is a picture of death. And we believe what we believe about life because of what we know about God. God is our Lord and Savior. I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not in your notes, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we all know these verses. They're very familiar to us. We use them many times. But here's what it says. And Jesus left us these ordinances, beginning in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. And this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, that's an important word in this doctrine, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So what this does is keeps us in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to live until we die. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? But without Jesus Christ, it's going to be a terrible thing for those who do not know Him as their Savior. And there are many things that we ought to do to please Him. And so as we serve Him and as we live for Him, we do the very best we know how to do what He would have us to do. I want us to notice in John chapter 20 and verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, we read that a minute ago, but to keep that in mind, we want to look at Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse number 41. Matthew 22 and beginning in verse 41 through 46. It tells us here, and they say unto Him, Caesar's. Now, let me go back and read just a couple of verses. And verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived that wickedness, and am I in the right chapter? Matthew 22, verse 41. Okay, I got over here in verse something else. I thought, well, I didn't remember that right now. I did something new. Matthew 22, 41. That's why I write it down and I still make mistakes. All right. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how long then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? See, they said he was the son of David. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know, Jesus could ask a question that they couldn't give the true answer. They gave an answer, but it wasn't the true answer. And what we need to realize is the very fact that caused a controversy between the Pharisees and Christ. And they, in fact, if you go back verse number 42 again, what think ye of Christ? Then they didn't have the complete right answer. They had an answer, but it wasn't the right one. And so the Lord said in verse 44, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David call him Lord, how is he his son? And Jesus, of course, was the Son of God. And thank God for that. And so the answer came back, what think ye of Christ? In Matthew chapter 16, look over there on verse chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse number 13. And down through 17. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he's asking them a question so he can give them a different answer. But he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, that was his legal name, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So as we think about these things, the Word of God explains to us who Jesus is. The Word of God explains to us what we should do about who Jesus is. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those that are lost. Who's lost? Everybody. Everybody that is from Adam and Eve on down, they were lost and they need to be saved. Now in the Old Testament, it was looking forward to the Messiah. In the New Testament, it was the Messiah now until he comes again. And thank God for that. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and everything. He had the answers. A lot of people say, what do you think about the church? What do you think about the church? Well, some people have this answer. Oh, I like that church, or I don't like that church, or I think we ought to do this, or I think we ought to do that. And some people, they'll ask the question, well, what do you think about a certain preacher? Or what do you... a certain group. What do you think about that? But the big question is, what do you think about Christ? That's the main thing. What do we think about Christ? If we think Christ came into this world and bled and died on that cross and was buried and rose again for our justification, for us to be saved, that's the most important question that can be asked us. What think ye of Christ? there are a lot of people who will say, well, he was just a good man, or whatever it might be. No, he wasn't just a good man. He was God's only begotten Son. The word begotten has to be in there, because sometimes he's God's only forgotten Son, because people forget him. But we don't need to forget him. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God. And so, what do we think of Christ? We ought to think about him as God. God. Because he is God. God has three parts: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Jesus Christ died for us. And God will be our Heavenly Father for all eternity. What a wonderful God he is. He made this possible for us to be saved. If Jesus Christ is not God, then we don't have a Savior. We don't have a Savior if Jesus isn't God. He paid the penalty for our sins. He did it on the cross of Calvary. He took our place. That's why he died for us. He didn't die for himself. He didn't need to. He was perfect. Even in his flesh, he was perfect. Because God sent him down here on this earth. He knew everything, and it was always right. And he would ask questions and get answers. And then he'd give the answers. The answers that they needed to hear. And so, I remember I went to church until I was 17 years old, and never heard the terminology saved, never heard the terminology born again. I heard a lot about being good. Try to be good. And we did on Easter talk about, I heard him preach about Jesus dying and raising again. And at Christmas time, his birth. But it was a historical fact. It wasn't a personal application until I went to that little church that they built next door to our house, that my daddy got a petition up to try to keep him from building it. I'm glad he didn't. I mean, they just, him and some of the other people in the neighborhood, because they didn't think, well, needed a church on our block. There was a lot between us and the church. But some young people came and got me and asked me if I would come. I knew one of them from school. And would I like to come to a youth rally? And I went to the youth rally and got saved. And that was a wonderful thing. I didn't understand all about it at that time. But the preacher explained it. And my mother was saved when she was 12 years old in a Baptist church in Buffalo, New York. And she married my daddy, and he was raised Lutheran. I never saw him in church other than this when I was confirmed. But, you know, the thing about it was, Mama never told me about being born again either. But she rededicated her life to the Lord and became a wonderful, dedicated Christian. And after that, after my daddy died, she started teaching Sunday school. And she was faithful and all that sort of thing. And I'm glad about all of that. And I thank God for her. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again one day in heaven. And if perhaps, somewhere down the line, my daddy ever got saved, I'll see him again. But if he didn't, I won't. I can't dwell on that. But I'm just simply saying that he's God, he's our Savior, he died for us on Calvary. The three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, was all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He's co-equal, he was coexistence, he was eternal. Those are wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. All three in one. And then Jesus Christ accepted what the Old Testament said about him. In Luke chapter 24, we turn over there. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 25 through 27. 25 through 27, Luke 24, 25 through 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. It was all in the Bible. Our Lord Jesus Christ accepted what the Old Testament had to say about Him. And then Christ had a conversation with His disciples as they traveled the Emmaus Road. And there are titles of Jesus in the Bible as well. I want to look over there in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So a child was born. That's what Bethlehem was all about. A son was given. It was because He was God's Son, God's only begotten Son. He was Mighty God. He was the Everlasting Father. And so on. And everything that was said about Him was true in the Bible. He is who He says He is, or else He was an imposter. And we know that our Jesus was not an imposter. He would have never made it walking down the streets and getting His disciples to follow Him and knowing everything that would happen and so on. And sometimes He'd be in a crowd and they'd be looking for Him. He'd just disappear. He'd just be somewhere else. And He'd come back and so forth and so on. But Christians need to know what they believe and why they believe it. Also, they need to know how to share Christ with others. And then Jesus was affirmed in the New Testament that He is God. John 3:13. Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, and He said, "And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." And then we also want to notice here, let me get my notes right. If I got it wrote down, I don't have that one. Yes, I do. Here it is. Okay, in John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, it says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father hitherto worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was His Father, and making Himself equal with God." And so this is what Jesus had to say. And He made Himself equal with God because He was equal with God. He was God. And Jesus is the only one that ever came to this earth who was born of a virgin, grew up in Nazareth, and walked among men. He was fully God and fully man. Because He became a man without ceasing to be God. He said He was God. And He was God. And thank God for that. And then Jesus said He was equal with God in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse number 19. It tells us here again in verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doth the Father, doth the Son, likewise." In other words, Jesus did what God allowed Him to do. Then in verse number 20 of chapter 5, we go back to that verse, that chapter again. We'll read it one more time. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel." Jesus said He was equal with God in power. We just read that a moment ago. Jesus said that He was equal with God in honor. In verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, so even so the Son quickeneth whom He will." That quicken means He makes him alive. He revives him. And that's what Jesus does when we get saved. We get revived into that new creature that we are. And thank God for that. And then when we are placed in the grave and Jesus comes back, we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In John 8 and verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He was the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And he's the Jesus of the New Testament. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 19:7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. But the Jews wanted to put him to death, but he did not get put to death because he was the Son of Almighty God. I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 62. 26:62. Matthew 26 and verse 62. And we're just about finished here. 26 and beginning in verse number 62. It tells us this. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee that by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand in power of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we any of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered, and they said, He is guilty of death. So Jesus was pushed into the very fact of death, but he was truly God and truly man and truly Christ. And in John chapter 4, when the woman at the well finally said something about the Messiah, he said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus declared himself as the Messiah. And he was the Messiah. He was the one that came for us. Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And we know who God is. And we know who Jesus is. Only those who know Christ as their Savior can tell those who don't know Christ about the Savior. Let me read that one more time. This is my notes. This wasn't anybody else's. Only those who know Christ as Savior can tell those who do not know who He is. We are His witnesses. What's a witness? A witness is someone that stands in a trial or something, just using that as an example, who tells what he has seen and what he knows. And that's what we do as a Christian. We tell people who we know and what we know about what we know and we should know. All right, then, Jesus Christ is who he says he is. In Acts 4:12, the Bible said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll have another lesson next Sunday. Brother John will be back. And we thank you for coming and listening. And of course, the Bible is a fabulous book. And it has everything in it that we need to know. And if we don't know something, we can look it up. If we don't, can't find it, you can ask for help. But Jesus Christ is the living God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts us. The Son died for us. And God allowed it. And thank God, all we have to do is receive it. And it's a wonderful thing to think about being saved and just know you have to receive it. Because Jesus died for all. Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ and his life for us on this earth many years ago. And yet, Lord, one of these days he's coming again for us. And we'll be with him and with God and with our loved ones that are saved in eternity. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.